But I want to go at a little bit of a different angle today, okay? Some of you might not know who I am. That's understandable. I'm not really anybody big. But my husband and I do a missions organization that helps every church to develop its own Bible school and church planning center. So we work in 142 countries. I'm used to going places and feeling dumb because I don't know the language, I don't know the customs, and I have to live by faith a lot. Okay, that's why I think the Lord just made me very simple. I just kind of go with the flow wherever I am. And I'm a little bit humorous. Some of you may know that. Every now and then I crack a joke or something. Because I don't take myself very seriously. The only person I take seriously is our God. And when we deal with faith, the one thing I really want to express to you today is that we can't take ourselves that seriously. Oh, I used to strain to have faith. I came up in the word faith movement in the 70s, and we had what we call the word police. If you said anything wrong, your speech was immediately corrected. You couldn't say you were sick. You had to say you were catching a healing. Okay? You couldn't say that you were having financial difficulties. You had to say that you had seed planted and you were expecting a harvest. Okay? I know. Let's remember that, Deborah. We couldn't even have potlucks. We had to have pot face. Nothing was luck. Everything was about faith. And pot blessing. We also had pot blessing. And pot bellies because we also couldn't confess that we were getting fat. So, you know, I'm so glad for Zumba and the different things we're doing here, okay? You know, this is the right thing to do, guys. But anyway, when we first went, my husband and I got married in 1985. And just a couple of weeks after we got married, we went to work with the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke. And we went down to South Africa. For those of you who don't know who he is, he's an evangelist from Germany, sees tons of signs and wonders, and meetings that are so large that they stretch out to the horizon. I mean, I think he's had 1.8 million people in a single meeting at different times. I don't know. I can't keep track now. Maybe he's even had more, but you know, he just has people going to the horizon. And we saw so many signs and wonders. But when we first came to the team, and listen, I wasn't nearly as chubby as I am now, let me tell you. I used to be, there was a time I was thin. And even though we were normal size and not obese at all, we came to Reinhard Bonnke after they had gone on a 40-day fast, almost to a person. And here they looked very gaunt and very spiritual. Hello, Sister Lisa. You know, and they kind of looked like they wanted to eat me. I was a little frightened. You know, a little frightened there because I had kind of tender meat. right from then, I thought, oh, my goodness, is this going to be a real battle for faith? You know, I knew what the word police said. And now I got these people fasting all the time and praying at all hours. I mean, we just couldn't stop praying at Reinhard's work. Which, again, was beautiful. But I thought, where is the balance in all of this? And I'm not accusing anybody of being unbalanced. I'm just saying that we're very pendular as people. We go back and forth and back and forth. And we try to do our best, but we're very pendular. Do I have a time clock that's going to be going back or something? Yeah, the 10:12? Okay, that's great. That's no problem. Anyway. We're very pendular. We either get like really into fasting and prayer or we're like, oh, God will take care of everything. Let's just surf. Let's just chill, you know. But it's somewhere in between. And what I want to talk to you today about how you are God's faith franchise. Okay? You and me, we are God's faith franchise. All right? We are not in this fight alone. We do not have to build ourselves up all by ourselves. If I were still building myself up after, lo, these many years with the Lord, 31 now, almost 32 in February, I would be a mess. I would still be a very, very unfinished building, which I still am, but I would be even in more states of decay, more states of distress if I were doing it on my own. My God, your God, has a vested interest in us. He hasn't left us to do this all by ourselves. And when people start talking about what they do to get their faith up, I kind of laugh. Because what I do is breathe and I ask God for help. Now, he then also gives me plans and strategies, and I'm not against that. Neither am I against everybody trying to encourage one another in the things of God and sharing what has helped you. That's all good. But we've got to remember who our source is. And we've got to remember that our God has a vested interest in each and every one of us. Now, McDonald's is the world's largest franchise. I had to study all about franchises and businesses because at the age of 48, the Lord told me to go back to school and get my master's in management. Now, do you know some beloved brother in the Lord? Pavo, we say in Spanish, right? Said to me that I was too old to go back to school. And he's only a few years younger than me, you know, like about four. I thought, are you kidding me? But the Lord told me he was going to teach me some things there that would help the body of Christ and that would help our ministry. And God gave me the faith that it took to get through, gave me the strength, the health, the endurance, and we got through together. Now, God wants to do that with all of us. If we look at McDonald's, because it's so recognizable, those golden arches, that's the world's biggest franchise right now. Even though you might think it's Starbucks. Because Starbucks just, I can't believe how many Starbucks can be on a corner. It's just amazing. You know, some people got Starbucks in their car trunks and everything. You want a caramel macchiato? You know, it's gotten weird. People with trench coats, well, it's just scary. But truly, as far as we can know, McDonald's has the biggest franchise. It's got 31,000 stores around the world, 13,000 here in the United States. And when you get a McDonald's franchise, you have to pay something. But also McDonald's invests a lot in you. Okay? It's kind of what the Lord's done, except obviously the Lord's done much more. Jesus invested a lot to get you. He came to earth, had to suffer the indignities of being human. Do you know, it wasn't until Jesus came to earth that he had to know what it was like to go to the bathroom. Can you imagine? He's walking all over. There aren't lots of Johnnies on the spot. People are thronging him. I've had this myself in Africa. Little kids would throng me. They'd want to follow me to where I was going to go to the bathroom in the bush. Because they kept asking me, are you the same color all over? Are you that white all over? I said, it's none of your business, but there are some places that are whiter. That's all I said to them. See, I'm the size of a little kid, so they're not intimidated by me. You know, they'll ask me anything. Anyway, Jesus had to suffer all these indignities, including probably people crowding around him when he needed to go to the bathroom. And he suffered betrayal. He suffered loss. People didn't understand him, though he was the best teacher that ever was and ever will be. He got nailed to a cross. He died. He fought the forces of hell. He was resurrected. That's the price he paid for us. Okay? He did a lot more than Ray Kroc did from McDonald's. All right? But I'm just giving you a metaphor, just something that we can compare, okay? I'm not trying to denigrate what great things God has done for us. And so, when you become a McDonald's franchisee, then you pay. It's like when we give our lives to the Lord. We say, I'm going to give you everything I am. And at the beginning, it looks pretty, pretty bad. Because you're not that much when you're coming to the Lord. We're still not that much, but we're a little bit better with him, right? When you come to him, you're full of sin, you're full of shame, you're full of disappointment, despair, and he's got to take you and make a good franchise out of you. I mean, God has spiritual development wrapped up. He is the great franchisee. And, you know, McDonald's even has a university. It's called Hamburger University. Hamburger. I like saying it that way. Hamburger. In Illinois. And you go there and you get trained how to be an expert McDonald's franchisee. You have to pay good money to do that. You have to go to Illinois, which for those of us who have lived in the Midwest, it's very cold and snowy and not so fun. It'd be better if they had a hamburger university right here in Southern California. But no, people who are dedicated, they got to go to where the snow is, where the Big Macs are, where the fish where the French fries are, and they got to go to Illinois. Okay? You know how blessed we are? God lets us go to all these churches around the world, like the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, and he doesn't even force us to pay. He lets us have the training for free. Yeah. So can you keep it in that perspective? Now, I'm all for tithes and offerings, and we'll talk about that in a minute. You should still pay for your franchise. But all I'm saying is the Lord loves us so much that he was willing to give Jesus the most precious gift of heaven and is willing to give you free training several days a week so that your franchise can be successful. That's how much he loves you. God is for you, not against you. And one of the greatest lies of the enemy is that the Lord doesn't care that much for you. And he really doesn't care what happens to you. I beg to differ 100-fold, okay? Let's look at Psalm 138, verse 8. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Okay, so many times, friends of mine and myself, we have just rested on a verse like that. Whatever you're going through right now, I want to reassure you that the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. He will perfect your body so that you no longer have that sickness and disease. He will perfect your character so that the besetting sins and the flaws that have been troubling you, enabling you to not have very good relationships with others, they're going to be gone. He will perfect your job skills so that you'll be marketable, so that you'll be an employee that people will want to hire and want to keep. He will perfect his grace in the lives of your children and grandchildren so that they grow up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And if they're away, they will return because of your prayers, because you are God's franchise and he has a vested interest in you. He will perfect that which concerns us. There isn't even an argument about it. So many times I hear people say negative things, and I already laughed about the word police. I don't want to be a word police woman, okay? But I want us to begin, as Pastor Deborah's been sharing with us, to speak words of life and health and hope. Not for some weird kind of, if we think positively, we'll get positive things. No, no, no. If we speak the way God speaks, he'll be able to hasten his word to perform it. This is something that's rooted in the Holy Scriptures, not in our unholy self-provision, okay? Because I know we can turn real New Age real fast and think we've got to do it. Because all our movie stars tell us that they do it all with their 15 personal assistants, their plastic surgeons, their personal trainers, their nannies for each kid. They do it all, because money answers all things. But the thing is that it's not true. We can do what we need to do, though, with our God. Now, in terms of thinking about this faith franchise, I want to look at three areas today. I want to talk about how the Lord protects his investment, which is you and me. I want to talk about how the Lord prunes and modifies his investment. And number three, how the Lord prospers his investment. Are you with me? All right. Number one, the Lord protects his investment. Let's go to Malachi 3, verse 11. Yesterday, my husband taught on Wednesday night about creativity when in a crisis situation. And one thing that he really stressed was continuing to give unto the Lord even when you're in trouble. I know my husband and I have said that even if we are homeless, we will tithe unto the Lord. If someone gave us 25 cents, we would give 2 or 3 cents to the Lord. You know, we'd have to get change somehow, but we'd do it. We'd ask another bum for change. However it worked, we would get it done. Okay? We would tithe our food if somebody gave us a granola bar. You know, I've taken to putting food and drink in my car. And then when I see the people off the freeway ramps, I give them something healthy. Some of them reject it. They tell me they just want cash. So our Youth Bites team has a really crazy thing that we're going to do. We're going to talk about ingratitude, and we're going to have somebody begging at the side of the road, and when someone stops, they say, credit card, and the people give them their credit card, and they say, can I see your ID, please? And they bring out one of the credit card machines, and then they say they don't have sufficient funds or whatever, you know. We just want to show how ungrateful some people can be, because it's hilarious. But the truth of the matter is the Lord will protect his investment if you are acting within the terms of your franchise agreement. Malachi 3:11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Okay? Says the Lord of hosts. I know so many times I have been saved by God because I tithe. I started tithing just a few months after I got born again. And I started tithing the very day I heard about tithing. I got born again. I was from the Catholic Church. Please, any of you who have that background, I'm not saying anything negative. I'm just saying how it was in my parish. In my parish, if you gave $1 or $2 in the offering, that was a big to-do. You were really blessing the house of God. And they used to give us little piggy banks that were in bread loaves. And we put our pennies in there. And if we had that thing chock-a-block full, we could go very pridefully and give it to the priest. Okay? But I never got protection then because I only gave a little bit of money to the Lord. And I had a lot of pride associated. The first night I heard about tithing, the Lord gave me a real revelation through my pastor. And I ran to him afterwards. I was 17 years old. And I said, oh, pastor, all my life I haven't tithed. Granted, I was 17. I had really big buck jobs. Bowling alley attendant, babysitter. I worked in a flower shop once that was actually a front for a gambling casino. It's a long story. I figured it out. I was a little, you know, not always the sharpest knife in the drawer, but God gave me wisdom. I started like, these orders were so weird. Somebody in the third, you know? Racing Pansy in the seventh. I finally figured it out. Yeah. Remember, I'm Italiano. We won't go into that. But as soon as I started tithing, the Lord rebuked the devourer. We were in the recession. Oh, that's why I'm so glad I'm old. Because I've lived through a lot of things. When I saw that we haven't been in this bad shape since 1983, I rejoiced. Because I lived through 1983. I said, if that's as bad as it gets, we got 25, 26 good years coming. You know, it didn't bug me at all. I was like, yeah, 83, that's the year I was ordained. I was like, awesome. I got ordained at the depth of our economic recession. This is wonderful. God has prospered us. But I got a really low-paying job right after I started tithing. Oh, my goodness. I worked for Friendly's, an ice cream and little grill. I mean, anybody remember that Friendly's Corporation? I started, even to this day, I don't like ice cream that much because of my experiences there, but scarred me for life, but that was good. But here, I work at Friendly's. You don't pay much for your stuff at Friendly's. And so I thought, how in the world am I going to get money for university? You know, I was going to University of Michigan. I was going to have to pay my own way. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just prayed. And I stood on this verse. I said, Lord, you said you'd rebuke the devourer. You also said, test me in this. See if I don't send you a blessing. I said, I'm testing you. The weirdest things started happening. People would leave me $20 tips for a cup of coffee. I think they forgot it. You know, part of me, still carnal, because I hadn't been saved that long, wanted to just keep it. But then I say, sir, did you forget your money? You know, I'm like, ugh, I don't want to say this, but I really want to. But the word of God was ringing in my ears. Again, that doesn't happen to people who live in San Bernardino, because you're a lot holier. But those of us who are from Detroit, we needed a lot more help with our carnality. And no, they say, no, that's your tip. I'd be like, are you kidding me? And this happened again and again until I had all the money that I needed for college and more so that I could give. See, I tested this right at the beginning. And I've got to tell you, I've got lots of friends who have tested it. I've got one situation. I don't want to go into details, but the lady has four kids, and her ex-husband can only give her enough money to really feed not even quite one person per month, to be honest. Okay? And here she had four kids. So she prayed. She was a tither. The little money that he gave her, she tithed off of that. And she stood on this verse. You know what kind of job she got? She got a job with a cookbook company. They pay her to go buy the groceries, cook the food, make it look pretty so that they can take the cookbook photos, and then they can have the food. So she gets paid for her service, and she and her kids eat darn good food. That's what God can do. He wants to protect his franchise. You know, I'm not going to name the name of a franchise, but we were in New York City a few years ago. We went into this franchise, and it was filthy. There was, like, human feces on the floor and everything. Yeah, it was that bad. And after I saw that, every time I see that franchise anywhere, I don't want to go in. Even if it's clean as anything, I don't want to go into that franchise. But, and I don't get any money from McDonald's. What? I'm not Ronald McDonald's sister or anything like that. Even though we look somewhat similar. you know, I'm not getting any money. But overall, wherever I go in the world, a McDonald's is clean. Now, you might say it's not so clean for your arteries, but it's clean. You know, you feel like the food is not going to kill you at least right then. Maybe a few years along the line, if you don't take care of the cholesterol buildup, if you don't exercise, don't drink plenty of water, that kind of thing. But the Lord wants to protect his franchise, and he will do it if you keep the terms of your franchise agreement. Now, what's that? That's tithing. Really, I don't care where you are. I ask you to ask God to help you to do this. If I were one of those people getting a granola bar from me on the side of the road, I would take a tenth of it and I would give it to someone else who was homeless. That's how I would begin tithing. There is a way that you can do it. You just have to ask God. I know pastors who are very successful now. They used to take off buttons and put them in the offering because they had no money. But at least they had a button. Okay? They began to train themselves with the help of our precious Holy Spirit to give because they wanted to adhere to the terms of their side of the franchise agreement. And if we do, we will be blessed. Let's look at Proverbs 2, verses 7 and 8. Proverbs 2, verses 7 and 8. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. I like the way they say it in the message. He's a rich mine of common sense for those who live well, a personal bodyguard to the candid and sincere. He keeps his eye on all who live honestly, and pay special attention to his loyally committed ones. That is how God can be. He can protect his franchise agreement. You're valuable to him. You're not just a number. You are a representation of his name on the earth. That's why he wants you to do well. Now think of all of us, any of us who have kids. You know when they start misbehaving, you're kind of embarrassed. You try to corral them right away. Why? Because at that moment, you have two things on your mind. Number one, you want them to do what's right in the eyes of God. Number two, you're embarrassed because that's a reflection of your family name when they start acting like brats. You know? You don't want that going around. It's a reflection of yourself. Now, let's not be too crazy about it because we all have free will. And if your kid is 53, really, you don't, I mean, come on, you know. You're no longer responsible for how he eats in a restaurant, okay? And if he has a temper tantrum in the grocery store, that's not your business, okay? But you know what I'm saying. Let's not get too into our pride about this, but you feel it personally. What your kids do, it's a reflection on your own character and nature. How much more our God? One day I had three teenagers, you know? We've got our two daughters. We've got our son. And it just so happened that that day I was having trouble with each and every one of them. This was a couple years ago. I went into the bathroom, close the door, trying to get some peace. I don't know if any others of you do that, but sometimes that's the only place I can have a moment of silence. I don't even need to go to the restroom. I just go in there to contemplate, meditate, be alone. And I was there sitting on the throne, and going before the throne, and I said to God, "Oh, these three children you've given me." And he said, "Tell me about it. I've got 6.6 billion of you." I laughed so hard. I was laughing. And, you know, sound kind of carries in the restroom. That's why singing in the shower, singing in the restroom, not always a good idea. My kids heard it, and I was laughing and laughing and laughing. And they go, "Mom, what the heck's happening in there?" I said, and I told them. And they started laughing, too. And their attitude changed. And their behavior changed for the better. Because they also saw the humor and the glory of God and realized we're all acting like a bunch of jerks. Okay? But God will protect his investment if you follow his rules of engagement. Number two, he's going to prune what you do. John 15:2. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Now, I know we don't like this, but any successful business has to do the same thing. What happens is when you first start a business, you're working your tail off, you're doing anything to survive. And then as it starts to get a little bit more prosperous, you take some things for granted. Maybe you leave the lights on more than you used to. That's what I'm always telling people who are at churches. Don't waste electricity. When Pastor Jim said our electricity bill was $30,000 a month, I'm like, "Oh my goodness." You know, I want to go to solar panels immediately. I want to put a windmill on the property, whatever it takes. And some people just have enough hot air, they could just talk and they could fuel that windmill. We got some talkers in this church, let me tell you. We could save $30,000 a month. But when you're first doing something, you're putting so much effort into it that you often aren't looking at every single place where you can cut expenses once it starts to prosper. In the beginning, you sure do. But once you get a little money, "Oh, I kept the light on. Oh, I didn't turn it off." Nah. Our God is not a wasteful God, which is amazing because all he has to do is speak and more things are birthed into existence. But he still doesn't waste. Now think about when Jesus did the loaves and the fishes miracle. Okay, he takes a little boy's lunch. That little boy was cool. So was his mom or dad who packed it for him. The kid gives the fish and the loaves to Jesus. Jesus prays. They give it out to all those people, 5,000 men, maybe another 5,000, 10,000 women and children too. We don't always know. And then Jesus asks them to collect everything that remains. Jesus is into leftovers. Jesus is not into waste. And one thing that sometimes happens when we have a Jesus franchise is that we start to get a little lax. And we waste. We buy another pair of boots when we don't really need another pair of boots. We eat that dessert when we don't really need those calories. I mean, again, I'm sure this is only from people like me who are from Detroit, where we're just overconsumptive. This would not be happening to Californians, of course. We know Californians do everything in moderation. Anyway, I cracked myself up on that one. But we get a little lax, and so the Lord has to start pruning us. So suddenly we don't have as much money in the clothing budget. And we're like, "Oh, I don't have anything to wear," as we try to get through our stuffed closet. "Oh, I don't have any shoes. Oh, where's that other one? It's under my bed. Oh, here's this one." Okay? This is a principle in the kingdom. We'll get a little bit too greedy, and he'll say, "Woohoo, prune, pruning time." Now, I had a grandpa, total Italian, Giorgio. George means vine dresser in the Greek. Anyway, he had grapes in his backyard. Here he was in the middle of downtown Detroit, I kid you not. He had just a little plot of land, but every part of that plot had some kind of food that he was growing because he had 11 kids. My mother grew up with 10 boys and she was the only girl. My dad grew up with 7 sisters and he was the only boy. So you can tell what kind of combination made me as crazy as I am. Okay? I got a dad who knows girls can do everything, and I got a mom who had to fight for everything she got. So, you know, that kind of, now you understand Lisa, just like that in a nutshell. But my grandpa, he used to take me to the grapevines, and he couldn't speak very good English, but he would always say, oh, look at the vines, oh, look at the vines. I look at the vines, they're a bunch of gnarled mess. You know, I couldn't tell which vine ended and which vine began, and I didn't really get what was going on. And little did I know that my grandpa was sowing some seeds to teach me later, because he wasn't a believer, to teach me later how the kingdom of God works. Now, the Lord is the vine and we're the branches. Well, if you look at a grapevine, you can't really see where one ends and one begins. And we need each other desperately, but we especially need the source, the vine. And we need to be pruned because sometimes if we get too big, we actually infringe on the rights of the other vines in our area. You know what some people think of the United States, even though I believe we're a great country? That we're little piggies because we take a lot of the power of the world. We take a lot of the food of the world. Then we do a lot of Jenny Craiging and Weight Watchering. And they're looking at us like, are you crazy? You know, you guys eat and eat and eat, then you spend so much money to lose and lose and lose, and you exercise and exercise, then you sit and sit and sit in front of your television. I mean, they think we're nuts, okay? That's why Jesus prunes. First, to make sure we know who's the head vine and we're just little baby branches. And secondly, so that we don't impinge on the rights of others. Start eating up everybody else's food. Start wearing everybody else's clothes. Start impinging on everybody else's ability. Now, listen, Pastor Jim has spoken this very well. We're all supposed to carry our own burden and carry our own load and share our burdens. I mean, we are, okay? I don't want to get to a, you know, some kind of communistic thing here where if you get too much, then your vine's going to just crowd out another vine. I don't mean it that way. I mean it, what is the heart motivation? If the heart motivation is selfishness, then it's wrong. There are people that God gifts to get wealth, and they do it so they can bless millions. Let it happen. I don't give any care or concern about that. But you know what? Those people won't just worry about their own vine. They'll be concerned about the vines of others. Okay? And this is a very important point. If you're going to be a franchise owner, you are going to have to be pruned. Now, what if one McDonald's just wanted all the business? And say they were near the Hamburger University in Illinois, and they started saying, only come to our McDonald's. And so people from California were driving thousands of miles to Illinois to go to that one McDonald's. No, that's not how, that's ridiculous. What McDonald's wants is a franchise in every neighborhood. What God wants is a franchise in every heart. He wants to spread the wealth. He wants to spread the prophet. He wants to spread the gifting and the talents among all of his people. And so sometimes he prunes us so that we're reminded of who he is and who other people are. But you know what? He only prunes us so that we have greater capacity in the future. I never have known the Lord in my life to take away something where he didn't give me something more and much more than ever I had before. But I still have, I don't like that snipping. What you doing there, vine dresser? Oh, that hurts. That was a good bud. That was a good bud. I wanted to keep that. No. I've told the Lord that so many times. I've given him advice. He's told me he really can run the universe without my help, even though I continue to be helpful. I continue to give suggestions, plans, ways of doing things. He's not usually convinced. And number three, the Lord will prosper your franchise. Deuteronomy 8, 18 and 19. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. The Lord wants us to prosper. That is his desire. You look at the patriarchs. Oh, my goodness. You've got somebody like Isaac, and it gets to be that he has so much wealth in his flocks that he's got to move because other people are getting mad at him. Okay? Abraham, he was just getting wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. Joseph became second in all of Egypt, had more money than he knew what to do with, aside from the fact that he turned to the Lord completely and found a way to save all the known world in a time of famine. The Lord makes people wealthy. The Lord will prosper your franchise agreement as long as you serve him and don't start thinking that you did it. I don't start thinking that I did it. I mean, every now and then, I'll say something. I'll hear the Lord say, oh, are you the Messiah? I'll be like, oh, boy. You know, I always hate it when God asks me a question because you know he knows the answer. And like you're like in a trick situation. I'm like, no, I'm not Jesus, but I do look at him some mornings before I shave. You know, I look a little bit like, you know, with the beard and everything. But after I shave, I don't look as much. And, you know, I'm telling you, scary sometimes. Frightening. But the Lord gives grace. He says that to me. Are you the Messiah? I've heard that before. You know what I've also heard before if I'm starting to get a little prideful? He starts singing a song, and he puts my name in it where it should be Jesus' name. I tell you, I get chills then. I'm like, I don't want to be eaten by worms. Ooh, I hate worms. Even gummy worms I don't like. Ooh, I just hate worms. I don't want to be eaten by worms. And he'll be like, kid, come on. Who's the one who gave you what you have? Who's the one who helped you from the moment of your conception to this time? It's me. I'm like, oh, yes, Dad. I understand, and I ask for your forgiveness. How can you prosper your franchise and increase in your faith? Number one, you got to hear the word of God. I'm sure we've been going over and over Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got a great testimony from the ISOM in Russia. There was a man in a wheelchair, and when he first started coming to the ISOM, he thought, I've heard so many sermons, and I've been in this wheelchair for 12 years. What good is it going to do? But then he was a little lonely, and also he kind of liked the people who were going to this fellowship, so he decided, I'll stay. I'll just go to one or two and see how it is. So he went to one or two. He liked it. He said, I think I'm going to go to a few more. So then he went to 20 and 40 and 60. Yeah, he just kept going to class after class. And then around session 69 or 70, something happened to him. One of the teachers was talking about how by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. And he had been hearing this word and hearing this word and hearing this word. And all of a sudden he said at the end of the class, everybody, by the stripes of Jesus I've been healed. He got up out of his wheelchair, started walking, and hasn't gone back to the wheelchair again. But that took a consistent hearing of the word of God. We're blessed at The Rock to have so many services. The pastors are doing this and working very hard, doing it again and again, week after week, day after day, so that we can grow in the things of God, so that we can be sitting in a Wednesday night service or a Thursday morning girlfriends or Sunday morning or Saturday morning, and suddenly we say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And boom, we receive our complete manifestation. Or we realize, God wants to provide all our needs. Boom! And we go into a new dimension in having Jesus be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. It takes that consistency. Now, with human franchises, they're always doing training. That hamburger university is going on and on and on. At all the McDonald's, they have little training seminars for their people. Their managers are getting pulled out and being trained. They want the word of the company, the practices of the company that are most profitable to be ingrained in the people's heads. How much more does our God want his word ingrained in our hearts so that we can act, so that we can be doers of the word and not just hearers? That's why he's asking us to hear and hear and hear and hear it. Not because he loves to hear his own writings announced, but because he loves the effect that it has on his people as they accept it. Number two, we can pray in tongues. Jude. I do this, a lot. Jude 1:20. Because it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most precious faith," or most holy faith, "praying in the Holy Spirit." This is one way that our faith can be activated. You know, there was a study that was just recently put on the internet that showed how, this is a secular guy. He may be a Christian, but he's from a secular institution. A doctor shows that when we pray in tongues, we are not engaging any of the normal verbal parts of our brain. It's totally in a nonverbal place in our brain when we pray in tongues. Okay? So that's exactly what the word says, what our teaching is. Our teaching is that when we don't know how to pray, we pray in the Holy Spirit, and he makes intercession for us because he knows what's going on. A lot of times in our franchise, we don't know what's happening. The money's not coming in the way it should. Our body's not functioning the way it should be. Our kids aren't behaving. Spend a few minutes praying in the Holy Spirit. He'll intercede for us, and he'll build up our faith at the same time. I can't tell you how many times I've just been thrown on my knees because I'm in a situation that's a crisis. I don't know how to pray anymore. I've tried everything I know. And I say, Holy Spirit, pray through me. Work through me. Do your will, because I have no idea what I'm doing. When I get up from my knees, I suddenly have faith. And almost every time I also have an idea. I have a plan of attack. I know how to do the next step. I might not know how to win the whole battle, but I know what to do next. And I walk and I do it. You see, this is why people don't understand that the kingdom of God is not like a reality show where you just have to persevere a few weeks, then you win $1 million. And you also get famous while you're doing it. So even if you're not the winner, you might get some other kind of television contracts afterwards. Maybe you can be the next Bachelorette. Maybe you can be the next Survivor. Those Survivor shows crack me up. Do you know that sometimes I am in the same places where the Survivors are? I have seen them. I'm like, you're not in the isolated area. I'm so angry. I'm here. The church is here, but I don't have any television cameras. One time I saw the host in New Zealand. I almost went up to him and kicked him. I said, you silly man, wasting all this money having people with their survivor skills. We could use this money and do something really significant. Build people's homes. You know, get people out of poverty. Instead, you're playing these stupid little games for immunity. I want to kick you. But, you know, I prayed in the Holy Spirit. The Lord told me that was not a good plan. I didn't see his bodyguard. I don't know if he was traveling with him, but probably there would have been somebody there. Who is this little idiot woman? Oh, I'm kicking you. You waste a lot of money. No, I couldn't do it. I had to be Spirit-led. Number three, we can ask for more faith, like in Mark 9, 17, and 29. But I'm just going to read the part where Jesus said to him, this is a father who's in crisis. Demons have been throwing his kid into the water to drown him and into the fire to burn him. Can you imagine what a crisis this is? I mean, most of us have not faced this level of demonic opposition. We may have faced some, but in the main, we're not walking along and suddenly our kid's taken, thrown into a lake, thrown into the ocean. Our kid's taken, thrown into a barbecue pit. Normally that's not happening. But this is what was happening with this poor father and his child. And so he's asking Jesus for help. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's what I've done many times. When I know I've gotten to the level, I can't believe God for anything anymore. We started Good Shepherd with $149. Yeah, we did. And we were going to go to Nigeria, West Africa. And I'll never forget this board meeting, and Pastor Deborah was there, and Pastor Jim, among some other dear people who helped us start. And We were supposed to believe God for $40,000 before we left. They asked, how much do you have? I said, 149. And some cents. I don't remember exactly. 43 cents or whatever. And they said, let's pray and believe. And I said in front of everybody, I don't have the faith. I had $149. And I needed $40,000. And Pastor Deborah said, I have the faith. And she stood up and she prayed one of those raucous prayers, you know. There was an earthquake. We walked on water. The Red Sea parted. It was red gelatin. I mean, it was amazing. And you know what? We got even more than that $40,000. Yeah. But I had to ask God to help my unbelief, and I had to ask somebody else. And I did have to do some fasting. And let me tell you, I don't want to get too weird about this fasting thing. I am a chubby little Italian. I love to eat. I do not have an eating disorder. If I had a plate of pasta in front of me right now and did not feel the Lord wanting me to continue this, I would gobble up that mustacholi in a minute. Okay? I do not put extra cheese on or anything. I don't like that. But I would gobble up those noodles. Okay? But God is so good to me. When he tells me to fast, he gives me a supernatural endurance. I really, quite honestly, I can tell you this before the Lord. I am not craving food. Okay? I'm not like, oh, I want food so badly. Now, I know it also helps that I'm a little Italian. Because I heard a tape when we were in West Africa and we had to fast a lot. And this very skinny pastor said, I've never had to fast more than 3 days. And I've always gotten my answer. And I can't remember. I was on day 7 or 10 or something. And I hadn't gotten my answer yet. And I thought, how easy it is to be that little skinny pastor. And I felt like the Lord said, well, Lisa, I can't ask him to fast anymore. But you can handle it. I laughed so hard. He's like, he'd start keeling over. I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. You built me for fasting, Lord. And for economy class in the airplane. Oh, well, it's okay. But I don't want to be cursed by that. I want to go into business class more and more by the grace of God. And number four, we can listen to other people's stories of triumph. Revelation 12:11. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. You see, this faith thing is something that God wants to help us with. All through Scripture, you see him telling you, do this, and I will help you. Keep to this franchise agreement, and I will fulfill my covenant with you. You do what I say, and I will do what I've said I will do. God is not like anybody's earthly father who may have said one thing and done another. God is not a man. He does not lie. Nor is he a woman who exaggerates, who sometimes deceives. No, I don't want to be sexist. That's why I had to be clear about that. God tells the truth.